They were talking about passing down the ancient stories of faith and the importance of that. I don't know if your families do family reunions, but mine does, and I always enjoy those because I get a glimpse into my family history, whether it's the ancient history of, you know, my ancestors, most of whom came over from Germany, or what life was like when they were here living as farmers in Iowa or up in Green Bay where my mom's family is from. Or it's those embarrassing stories that every family loves to tell. I don't know about yours, but mine is great at those embarrassing stories. In every family, we have those stories, and some of them are fun to tell, and then we have other stories that we don't tell because of the pain or the shame that they cause us, or maybe because we just don't even know how to describe something that happened to us. Maybe we bury them away and we try to forget them. But those stories, whether we tell them or whether we bury them, shape us. Moana's people had stopped sailing, had stopped voyaging because of danger that came on the sea. And Moana's father also had a tragic experience on the sea when he was young, when he and his best friend went out on rafts and tried to go beyond the safety of their reef, and then he drowned, his best friend drowned. And he carried so much grief and shame from this that he refused to let his people, and especially his daughter, go anywhere near the ocean or the reef. But Moana's grandmother remembered the story of their people from before the danger and fear took over. She remembered the truth, that though the sea could be dangerous and terrible, their ancestors knew the way. They knew how to sail the seas, rough or calm, and to live a more adventurous life. We too can only run from our fears for so long before we really have to face them. So now we're going to see a little video clip, which follows after Moana has discovered in the caves, the boats, and we've heard the ancestors sing their song. This follows where Moana's grandmother, Tala, tells her the story about how her people changed from voyagers to island people.
When he stole from the Mother Island, darkness fell. Pekar awoke. Monsters lurked and boats stopped coming back. To protect our people, the ancient chiefs forbid voyaging. And now we have forgotten who we are. And the darkness has continued to spread, chasing away our fish, draining the life from island after island.
Island.
But one day, someone will journey beyond our reef, find Maui, deliver him across the great ocean to restore the heart of Tefiti. I was there that day. The ocean chose you. Ancestors believe Maui lies there, at the bottom of his hook. Follow it, and you will find him.
But why would it choose me? I don't even know how to make it past the reef. But I know who does!
The fish.
This is happening all over the
please,
island.
Please, settle down.
What are you going to do?
We will dig new fields. We will find a way
to stop the darkness. Save our island. There's a cavern of boats. Huge canoes. We can take them, find Maui, make him restore the heart. We were voyagers. We can voyage again.
We're not watching any of those. So Moana's grandmother reminded her of what their people were, and then Moana went and shared that to save them from the darkness that was surrounding them. She taught her the story of her people and encouraged her to follow her call, to go out on a great adventure that would make them safe again and bring them back to the way of life they have always known. We are so blessed to be a part of a community of faith, where we have stories handed down to us that have guided and shaped God's people for generations upon generations. We have the witness of people who are older than us and wiser, as Adon said. It's an encouragement for me always, and I hope for all of us, to look out in this congregation and see gray hair. So if you have gray hair, wear it with pride. These people have kept the faith, some of them, since birth. And as we think about ancient stories and their importance, I asked some of them to share their stories with you, and most of them are printed in the bulletin. And I encourage you to write down your own story too, for your family or friends, or ask somebody who's an experienced, wise faith member in your family to share their story with you. Because knowing who we are and the values that shape us, where we came from, is so important for where we go in life. And so now I invite one of our younger members, Evan Buckman, to come up. And if you could make sure the reader mic is on, Carson. Evan's going to share the story of Marcia Vranken, one of our older faith members. Here, I'll help you. And he's going to read that for us, to be a living example of passing the stories of our faith down. Thank you to Marcia and to all the members who shared their faith stories with us. I hope that they are meaningful for you as you go through and read them this week. But I also hope we know that sharing the story of our faith and of God is not just a one-time thing. It's like a seed that's planted, as we heard in Marcia's story. And for a seed to grow and flourish over time, it needs a lot of attention, right? It needs water, it needs nourishment. It needs light and care. Today, you are tending the seeds of your faith by being in this community, and you are helping the whole garden of faith here at Grace to grow and flourish. One flower in a field is nice, but a whole field of flowers is something that people will notice. So today, I'm going to share some of the stories of faith now from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which goes through many of the important people in the Bible that have helped us learn about who God is. It says, Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. We can't see God. God spoke the world into being, but we have these stories to help us to know who God is. And now we hear about Noah, who was an example of faith for us from the beginning. Hebrews continues, without faith, it is impossible to know God, for whoever would approach him must believe he exists, and that God rewards those who seek after him. By faith, Noah was warned by God about events as yet unseen. He respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. Can you imagine the faith Noah must have had to build that ark just on the word of God? And now we continue by hearing about Abraham, who we often call the father of our faith. And because Abraham and Sarah practice their faith in God, we all are a part of God's family. So we hear the story of Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he was promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For Abraham looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because God considered Abraham faithful. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. All of these people died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. So when we feel like we don't belong, we can know that our true place is with God. But as it is, we desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, God has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham was put to the test, offered up Isaac, his own son. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you." Abraham considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instruction about his burial. So we hear these names, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joseph's sons. The Bible is full of stories of faith being passed down through families from generation to generation. And even if you don't have children yourself, you are still a part of this by how you live your life and your faith. You can still influence the next generation outside of your family, sometimes more effectively even than people in their own family can do. And Moses, we hear about next. Moses, whose call story we heard last week, called by God to go to Pharaoh and demand freedom for God's people. Talk about faith. Hear his story now, which hinges on the faith of his parents, the care of his adoptive mother, Pharaoh's daughter, who pulled him from the river and raised him, saved his life, and his faith in God. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God and become a slave, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw God, who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Talk about faith. To do all those things that God called him to do, to be brave, which I don't know if he was not afraid of the king's anger or not, but he followed what God asked him to do, including wandering out into the desert, not knowing where he was going. In our next section, which is our last, we hear about the faith of God's people, including somebody named Rahab, who maybe you've heard that name before, maybe not. But she was a woman who saved some Israelite spies who were trying to get into Jericho to defeat the city. And she hid them in her home. She put her own life in danger to save theirs. And she is called righteous because of her actions. And then we hear about some of the tougher sides of faith, where sometimes people were tortured or even killed because of their faith in God. By faith, God's people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release. Others suffered flogging and mocking, and even chains and imprisonment. Some were stoned to death. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, and tormented. The world was not worthy of their faith. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground. Well, it's kind of a downer note to end it on. But then chapter 12 continues. Therefore, since we are so surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. So when we feel like we're struggling in our faith, when we're lagging, we can go back to these stories of our ancestors in the Bible. How they showed faith when they didn't know where they were going, when they were afraid, even when they were in danger. These stories can help fuel us in our race of faith. So when you feel lost or your faith feels small, read these stories of Moses, of Noah, of Rahab and Abraham and Sarah. Or talk to an elder in your family or in our church. And remember that our stories need to be shared. Because faith is not easy. We have to work at it. We have to practice trust. But the good news is, we have a God who's faithful to us through the generations. A God who's faithful in so many ways that if we sit down and try to think about them all, we can't count them. A God who lives through the stories of faith and through us. And I give thanks for that. I give thanks for all of your witnesses. And for being together to share our stories of our God. Amen.